Got it. And then I believe, Angela, there's a spiel you need to read.
Yes.
Hi, Araceli.
Welcome to our virtual meeting. We're going to cover a few items before beginning. If you lose connection at any point during the meeting, you can reconnect by clicking the link or calling the number in your original email. To members and city staff, members, if you are able, please activate your video for purposes of quorum and keep it on for the duration of the meeting. Staff, if you're able, please activate your video when you are speaking.
You start.
Hello,
Hello.
Hey, Melanie. We're
This
just getting
is
started.
well,
audio
good.
now muted. New notification from Escape. Video now started.
The chair and committee staff
Staff
are responsible for
responsible for
muting
muting
and
and
unmuting committee
unmuting
members. Members
members
can
can
rename
rename
themselves
themselves
if they
if they
wish
wish to
to add
add
pronouns after
pronouns
your
after your
name.
name.
Use
Use
raise
raise
hand
hand
feature
feature
when you'd
when you'd
like to
like
be
to be
recognized
recognized
to
to
speak,
speak,
ask
ask
questions,
questions,
or
or
request
request
a
a
roll
roll
call
call
vote.
vote. Can we have everybody mute? Thank you.
Yeah, there is an echo. Oh, I'm in Chelsea's office and I don't know if something's turned on. I think
We're good now.
good now. Okay. All right. So we were on the raise hand feature. Use the raise hand feature when you like to be recognized to speak, ask questions, or request a roll call vote. During any roll call, all participants will be unmuted briefly. Staff, click raise hand when you are asked a question. The chair will do their best to call on committee members in the order in which hands are raised. Lowering your hand would take you out of queue. Members of the public who have registered to speak, the name you entered in Zoom must match the name you entered in registration. You will remain muted until called upon. Staff will let you know when your time is up. After speaking, a member of the body may ask you a question. If you need to share documentation with the board, please send it in the email listed on today's agenda. Please do not use your video. If you turn on your video, it will be shut off. Chair, the floor is yours.
All right, Angela, are you able to assist with roll call?
Yes. Rainey Moore,
Present.
Benford,
Audience.
Esparza, Kleba,
Present.
Rainey.
Here.
All right, thank you. And
Here.
I didn't hear Araceli respond, but she is on the call.
She
She
just
just
did.
did. So sorry, I'm dealing with a new computer, and so it's oftentimes hard for me to know, but if that's why I have my screen camera on. Okay, thank Oh,
you.
no worries. Thanks. So I'm not aware that there's any public comments. Can you confirm, or Angela, if there's any public comments?
There are no public comments for this meeting.
Thank you. Any disclosures or recusals? I'm not seeing any hands, so we will go on. Can I to the approval of the July 1st executive minutes? Can I have a motion to approve the July 1st
Audio
minutes?
move approval.
Is there a second?
Okay, Arson.
I'm sorry, is there a second?
Second.
Yeah.
All right, thank you. Any discussion? Hearing no discussion, all in favor of the approval of the July 1st executive minutes, can you say aye?
All right.
Anyone opposed? Looks like the minutes have been approved. The next item on the agenda is our EOC vacancies. I believe we have at least one person that has been approved by the mayor, but still has to go through common council. Byron, do you have any updates?
I'm not quite sure if he's back, but there are two that have been approved by the mayor, and they would be going up for initial review on August the 6th meeting, and then hopefully confirmation at the September meeting, because there's only one August Common Council meeting.
Okay.
Dina Wright and Ansree Bang. I don't know how to pronounce the last
I don't know how to pronounce it either, but.
Yeah.
It's so that's great.
Somebody was saying something.
Go ahead, Angela.
No, I thought somebody else was saying something, but that's the schedule we got from Lila.
Could we repeat the names again? I didn't catch that.
Okay. Ansree, A-U-N-S-H-R-I, and it's Bangalore, B-A-N-G-L-O-R-E, and Dina Wright.
Anushree.
Yeah. Very cool.
Okay, Byron's back.
Anushree, then Dina Wright, and they both have been vetted with the mayor, and the mayor approved, so then our next step is common council approval. Which it will be happening next week. Any other questions regarding that? Byron, anything you want to say regarding that?
No, we know Dina and Brian and I met with Anushree and had a great conversation with her.
And I know that Dina Wright is excited about it and looking forward to join it.
You are viewing Angela Banks, DCR.
So the next item we have on our agenda
is the
review of the MGO Section 28. Bob, any updates? Bob, you're muted.
That's the zoning, and I think that that should be struck from our list because we did hear back from the city attorney saying that it's that would become a First Amendment
too difficult to
situation that we can't really address.
Okay, so yeah. Angela, can you take that off our agenda so that we don't keep for the next meeting, so we don't keep bringing it up here?
Yes.
Thanks. And then I think, hold on, I'm trying to navigate through two screens. So then the next item on our agenda is the community listening sessions. Folks wanted to debrief the July 11th listening sessions. I wasn't there, so I'm very curious to hear from you all how you think that went and what rose up within that meeting. So if anybody wants to go ahead and start, who was present, would you raise your hand?
Byron. Mm-hmm.
And then Araceli.
So I sent my notes to everybody. I'm hoping you all got them and wanted to make sure that you got a chance to see them. I don't know if I captured 100% of everything, but I feel like I got pretty close to some of the things that were said. So, but I did want to let you all know that I did share that out with the entire group.
Thank you, Byron. Araceli?
I think what was interesting, I think both our takeaway, I think for Byron, he was like, wow, somebody came from a trailer park situation and talked about that. And he was like, whoa, that's a whole other area we haven't talked about really as housing. I spoke about the fact that even though we're civil rights, that we don't talk about and housing and so forth, that we don't talk about housing, all these new houses that are coming up, right? All these new, like skyscraper buildings, right? The big high skyscrapers, apartments, et cetera, that we're not really, you know, in my years of joining forces for families, that's like, those were apartments too, right? They weren't laid up and down, but they were a lot laid across, but still we had a little nucleus. They have nucleuses and they were more easier to manage versus these high skyscrapers. And people are like, oh, cost of living's gone up. These skyscrapers are never going to leave now, right? They're here to stay. But there's an illusion that I think that we haven't called in yet, that we're assuming that all these people who are able to afford perhaps higher rent, et cetera, we're assuming that they don't have that they're not experiencing housing abuses, they're not experiencing domestic violence or any other kinds of abuses, and that we don't have social services anywhere around it. So much as like we talk about food deserts, there's definitely a social service deserts that are happening in these communities where they don't have like connections. And so I felt like I had to call that in because I think there's a huge assumption that these folks don't go through stuff like domestic violence crosses all class barriers.
Right.
And so that to me is something that we have yet to even understand, like what is that impact to our community of Madison, as far as like the level of violence, isolation, the way people can hide. Okay. So when I was working in the South Side for so many years, it's like, we talked about that. I remember going, you know, if it wasn't for those house visits, like you wouldn't even know, like there was abuse happening. And not just because you went to that person, but all the people in the hallways, like you would just sense stuff was happening. And so that's even just that exposure of like somebody of authority, not even authority, but somebody that's the, like a social worker coming through and kind of just like evaluating these situations is coming in and out of these places. I don't know how much of that is happening in these like larger apartment buildings. So we can talk about the cost. And there was a landlord there who talked about like crypto coin. He was like, we get paid by crypto. And so that was kind of funky. But he said that the translation of dollars to crypto, he was actually helping people save money. And so that was interesting and curious. I don't think we can really put anything into that, given the population that we work with. Although I thought it was interesting and novice, I didn't feel like it was something we should promote at all, given that there's all kinds of different crypto. We weren't really sure what. I don't know. There's so many cryptos that who knows which one of all of them he was using. And maybe, yeah, he's usually using the OG, the real one. Okay, well, the people that we work with wouldn't know how to distinguish one from the other.
Right.
That was kind of an observation I had. And we talked about lack of accommodations for disabled folks in housing. We talked about the generation. There's a generation. Leanne Banks was there. She's a hard South Side resident, and she was upset that not upset, just irritated that she didn't know sooner. And she feels like more people would have came to our meeting had she would have known with more anticipation. We kind of expected that given it was 4th of July weekend and so forth. But I think we were really in cadence with what we did last time. There was nothing that we changed.
Right.
It could be that it was just 4th of July weekend and it was just hard, right?
Right.
One thing I do think that for the North Side we had was that we had elders, the elders we had, we got buy-in. And so that helps the city then to push it through their mechanism. So once we do the East Side one, we'll have Dina on our side. We'll have the one for my district. I forget her name. She starts with an A. I forget her name right now. But anyway, Butler, I think is her last name. And she's my elder. And then Sabrina, you know. And so we would have those three elders kind of buy into the one that we're going to do on the East Side. And hopefully, you know, someone can collaborate with Linda or myself. And can collaborate with Sabrina and those guys. And so once we have that buy-in from elders, I really feel like that's what distinguished the north side one to what we did on the south side. I didn't really see that the south side elders like really like embrace this opportunity with their own residents to like show off like, hey, this is happening. Like, here you are. You can have an audience with some city officials and get resources. The tenant resource center ladies were there. Folks were there, and that was cool. There was also like a new commission guy representing some other new commission was there. Something about rental, something or other was there. And so Byron can probably speak to more who he was, but he, you know, identified himself as like a new commission from a new commission that was addressing the housing costs and so forth directly, like a housing commission, I think. Besides that, that was pretty much it.
And you mentioned Araceli's trailer parks. Where were some of the concerns there?
So there was a Latina who came, and she, I think she was speaking in Spanish. We actually utilized one of the translators. Unfortunately, we had more translators than people almost there, but that was kind of cool, though. At least the Spanish translator was there and translated for her. Her complaint was that, you know, some of her things were being fixed. Either it was at length, and I think Byron should be more to speak to that than myself, who could probably capture more of that. But yeah, thank you.
So my understanding of what I was taking notes on, there was a couple of issues. One, she wanted to bring awareness around the lack of affordable housing and the lack of the type of units that are available for folks for who have families. You know, there weren't many very, there's not many 3-bedroom homes available in our community to rent. And so someone who has a family and needs to have that, she felt you're forced into options like, you know, moving into like a trailer situation because that is the next thing that could be affordable for folks, although it may not be the best or the most ideal situation. And one of the things that she said is one of the things that stood out to her was that, you know, in some of the recent storms that we had, the trailers aren't the safest things to be in with a family. Right. And so, you know, so there are things that she mentioned that I've always knew were there, but I didn't really think about it from the perspective of because we don't have these types of situations for people to move into, they're forced to make choices in options of things that not only are the best options for them to go into, but also not necessarily the safest options for them to go into. And so when I was leaning over to Araceli, that's what was going in my brain about that, thinking we have safety issues and, you know, pushing people into a situation that they may not would choose, but there is no other choice, right. Folks. And I started thinking, well, what can we do to start having those conversations with folks in the city who are developing, planning, and working with folks that are doing that developing and that planning? Because what I've heard is folks who are seniors in our community have said similar things about them being forced into situations that are not favorable to them, or being forced into paying for things when they're on a certain fixed income, and that fixed income takes everything away from what they have. And then they're left with hardly anything left to do anything. And so these are the things that I'm thinking is that our housing stuff in the community, although we're trying to be better with affordable stuff, but we're forcing some folks into some situations that really aren't favorable. And so I want to know and learn more about that.
So that is interesting, because I guess I knew, just like you said, I kind of knew that folks weren't always going into the best spaces because what folks can afford and what's available. Also, But in terms of like the safety, I guess, like even when you mentioned the if we have bad weather, how that may not be a best place to be when they say, you know, go somewhere, right, where it's safe. And that may not be your safe, right? And then if that's your where you live, then where what do you do, right? And so and not thinking about that. And so as you all were listening and thinking, and as we as a commission are getting these stories from folks, then we also need to be thinking about our next steps. Like what we have these information, and then maybe what is our plan around this information once we listen to, you know, enough of these stories. I know we have a couple more that we'll be listening to this year, at least one more, right, Araceli? And so then
yes, I'm hoping, sorry to interrupt.
Go ahead.
I need to talk to Linda and it's the, ¿cómo se llama la otra señora? The other lady who's part of our group here. Sheree. And I need to like possibly make a meeting. If we were to do one, it would probably be right the week before Thanksgiving is what we're thinking. I did talk to Sheree. Linda, I can't remember if we've already talked about what day if we nailed it down, but it would probably be the week before Thanksgiving is what I'm trying to think of. That second week of November is probably their sweet spot. It would have to be after November 5th is what I was saying to the ladies last time. And so I forget where we were on that thread, but I'll let you guys know next time.
And Bob, I saw your hand, and then Melanie.
Yeah, I just, excuse me. I just wanted to follow up on Byron's discussion about people move into situations that they're
AOL desk escape.
And also tie that with what Leanne Banks was
looks
saying,
like you're done
the gentrification of the Brams Addition neighborhood, that African American people were chased out of the city of Madison due to redlining, and then the the destruction or the rebuilding of the triangle, and where they could settle was outside the city, which is Brams Addition. And now we have zoning and city development that is gentrifying
and now raised
Park Street, and as a result the families
looks like your
grew up in Brams Addition, they can afford to stay there because they've already bought their houses, but their children can't afford to stay there. So we're losing continuity in community as a result of gentrification in Brams Addition. And I don't know that this is a phenomenon that would not have happened without the city's emphasis on the development of South Park Street, but it certainly has happened faster. So, and that's something that I think that our commission should pay a little more attention to with this neighborhood, with the Darbo Worthington, and then the Northport neighborhoods. So thank you.
Thanks. Melanie?
Lower hand button.
I'm sorry. I have a new browser and it's driving me crazy. When it unmutes me, it lowers my hand, although I haven't said anything. But in any event, I have a question. Is it possible for a family to combine two apartments? Say in the affordable housing, speaking of the larger families, if there was a two-bedroom apartment and a one-bedroom next to it, could they have both of those apartments?
I don't know. I would tend to say probably not, but I don't know that for sure. And the only reason why I'm saying probably not, because if they were to do that, they would probably, if how would you combine the two apartments? They would still be two separate apartments, right?
Well, no. I mean, I've seen this in other places, but some of it's just a matter of cutting a door through a wall, you know, and then it puts the two apartments together. And since they're really building almost no three-bedroom apartments, and, you know, if you've got four or five children, this is a serious problem. So yeah. I was just wondering if it could actually combine two apartments and accommodate some of these larger families.
Bob, is your hand up for a response to that?
Yeah, having four or five children is indeed a serious problem. But I was going to respond to something different from what Melanie was bringing up. So yeah, I'm going to take my hand down. Combining apartments, the problem with that, of course, is that you would have to be renting two apartments, and you'd have two kitchens, two sets of bathrooms, and it'd be that much more expensive.
Well, except, you know, it would just depend on how you would do it. I mean, this is ridiculous that they're not building more. I mean, there must be some data around somewhere about how many families there are with four children and three children. I mean, census data would have this stuff. And I mean, it just seems ridiculous that, you know, in some of these facilities, although they are not originally built for three bedrooms or something, you could easily make them into that. And if you've got four or five children, two bathrooms would be something nice to have. And whether you would have to charge double or not, I think that would just be another thing. The error was in the construction. You wouldn't have to charge double for it. I mean, I really think we should ask somebody in the city if you can do that. And if you cannot, why not?
Byron?
I think I like the idea of getting some data and some information about the what are we doing now for three bedroom builds and looking at what we can do in the future. It seems to me historically in our community, the philosophy has kind of been in the lane of you are in an apartment, typically a two bedroom, then you would transition to like a townhome, and then you would transition to like a duplex and then to a housing unit.
Right.
Because housing is so hard to come by these days now or to afford, families are stuck in that beginning stage longer to try to make things happen. And by the time the options to move in those other things get further and further away. Another thought that I've seen the city do that I think is rather interesting is I've seen the city take hotel motels and convert them into housing situations. Right. And I'm thinking that maybe that is an option that we can look at, because those are facilities that already have space set up. And if they're vacant or not being used now, or they're older units that are need to be updated and done, maybe we can find ways to convert those into not only accessible housing, because most of them already are, because of what kind of facilities they are, but into a use where it can satisfy all the other buttons, like folks that are aging, folks that need accessibility, and folks for need a multiple use facilities and rooms. So that's an option that I'm thinking we could talk to plan development and explore that.
That's being done, being planned in one place. There's a problem with the Public Service Commission, and there now is a case before the Public Service Commission because of the state law in Wisconsin is that all the apartments have to have their separate electricity and stuff like that. And in these that were originally motels, that was not the way they were built. It was built, you know, like one electrical thing covered all of them. And so they are having to appeal this ruling at the Public Service Commission to get permission to convert these motels into apartments or whatever they're going to call them. But that's a good idea, and it's really there are two projects. One is already started, but it can't continue until they get this permission to change the electrical to let the electrical system be like it is. So I just think there's some more creative ways, because even you're talking, Byron, about duplexes or townhomes or something. A lot of them are just two bedrooms, you know. They're not larger. And I just think we ought to really get the data about this family size in this community and then use it and say we've got to build X kinds of housing with three bedrooms in it and so forth and so on, because this does not make sense.
Right. And I like that idea of the Byron, maybe some of the hotels, because they've already been used as that. And that's kind of what is that hotel out far west side that actually folks do kind of live there with their families?
Was it the Radisson?
No, it's home.
It's another one. But it's one of the ones that's a problem. I mean, they're having a problem with, you know. Yeah.
But there's folks are doing using it for a house for housing for their families. I can't think of the name of it, but it's almost near Middleton. Is it Home United or Housing United? Something like that. But anyway, folks are already doing it. So I think what it is going to take is some creativity, you know, and of things like that to be able to get folks housing. And there really isn't any three or four bedrooms available to folks who have more children. And the children are here. And so they are here and they deserve a place to live just like anybody else. And so it is a problem because we don't have enough housing, and the housing that we do have, a lot of it is unaffordable. And so Byron, when you talked about getting to the next step, some folks can't get in the next step because they can't even save for that next step because they're living paycheck to paycheck. They're in a place, but in order to get to the next step requires some savings, and folks are not able to save because of how the cost of living is anyway. And everything has really gone up, food, housing. And what some folks are paying for an apartment to me is a mortgage. In some cases, it's more than a mortgage. And so it is kind of ridiculous, the cost of living. And then I think as we, the commission, think about what our next steps could be and explore some of those, some different options for folks, I think that we could try to be creative. And we don't have to always reinvent the wheel, because there are some things that are being done that we can adapt and make some recommendations based upon the information that we have. But the housing situation is not good.
Dire.
No, it's not. And it's not just here. I'm just going to say it's when you go into other places, you see housing issues all over the place. And as somebody said, I think I heard some on the radio, that we can eradicate homelessness in this country. We should be able to. We're one of the, you know, we have access to the greatest resources, the greatest minds. We should be able to eradicate it in this country.
Well, it's always the will.
Right?
It's not that it can't be done. It's the will to do it.
Absolutely. So, so as we gather more information from folks and listen to folks speak, I'm glad we're doing these listening sessions. I'm glad we're hearing from folks. And the other piece of that is, once we've been listening to folks, how do we report that information, report back to folks, you know, what we're doing, so that they know that what we're doing, and even if we are not able to do anything, we still should say something to that too. To the public, because we can't guarantee them anything will be done, but we can guarantee them that we will listen, and in areas where we can potentially have some impact, we will work in those areas to try to make that happen. But we also need to let them know where we stand and what has been done. So what? I think continuing these listening sessions will be important. New notification. Araceli?
What I've proposed in years past was so that we get an intern to work with us, with our commission, so that we could get like a blog set up, something like that. I mean, now we're doing the events to actually have this intern possibly even, you know, could document what you know what I'm saying, could document some of this. But yeah. Look how hard it was just to get some staff. So I don't know. I mean, that's been always kind of like a thought, you know, is having an intern for some of that stuff, like starting a blog where you would speak back to our community. But that's an idea too. Or, you know, having like a writing session where we're all kind of, you know, it might be interesting if we all got together and did individual, like a writing workshop for us commissioners. Another thought is that we never did get that Dear Editor kind of letter out there. And I mean, I think it was like passed on to Zach several times, and like, I don't know, then he moved away, but then sometimes I see him here on the meeting. So I don't know. I mean, I think it just never, either he just didn't have the time, et cetera. And I get that. I mean, I get that a lot. But that's also like a thing, if we were to schedule like a session where it's like, maybe not even Byron, maybe it's just Angela or somebody else from the staff there, and they would sit with us and kind of like help us write a Dear Editor letters. And then we send it, we don't have to send it out like, you know what I'm saying? We would send it out, stagger it. So then you have like six letters, and then staff would send it to the editors of like, say, the Wisconsin State Journal or, you know, the Cap Times. And then we get presented that way. We get like six of them. There you go. That's 6 months of us reporting back to the community of the experiences that we had. But that's just, or maybe not with the city staff, like somebody who does already these press releases and talks to the press. Maybe that could be a thing. I'm just, again, I'm thinking out loud because I've heard you say this several times about how do we report back to the community. And I mean, yes, having the sessions are a great way to recap the things that we have offering for them. They have brochures about how to, you know, combat retaliation and housing and all of that. But these nuancy things, the care.
Right.
Given how the atmosphere is, there's not a day that doesn't go by that there isn't, and I'm really connected to like the artist community, and there's so many artists out there who are, you know, really struggling for housing and that are leaving our city, which is also an economic stimulus. So anyways, right. With that, I pass.
Well, thank you for that. Byron?
So I'm working on a unique project right now that might provide us a part-time paralegal all year long, if that works out. And if that does, then maybe some of that person's time could be dedicated to supporting some of the work for the commission. In addition to that, I like these ideas and like what we're doing. I think we should really talk about how to utilize the new public information officer too for the city that we have, and seeing if there's a way, because I think part of their job is to reach out to, or for us to reach out to them and to share them information that they want to put out to the community in your behalf. So it's new, kind of very new. I don't know much about yet how that's supposed to work, but I can definitely look into that and inquire and see if that is also an additional lane that would be open to us, because I think that it should be a part of that role.
That's a great idea. And I love that folks are thinking about ways that we can work with the public around some of the issues and let the public know where we are and being creative. And it's going to take some of that creativity. So as folks are thinking about these issues and concerns, if you have further ideas, don't be afraid to share them. Let us know. And then we can always work through them as a group to figure out what we can do and what resources we might have available to us. So I appreciate those comments and thoughts.
Corinda.
Melanie, go ahead.
Yeah, excuse me. This is on the subject, but it's in our purview. I was on another Zoom meeting today. This is my fourth one. But in any event, a man from the university, I think he's in charge of the HR, said that he was always having spouses and friends of university employees coming to him and asking him why their employers did not have to make accommodations. And if they did, and if they are supposed to, how can they get them? And he was thinking that this group that he was talking to should maybe put out some materials. And I said, oh, wait a minute. You know, there's already at the Equal Opportunities Commission, we are responsible in that area. And I know that we have some materials. But he seemed to be saying and was saying that just a lot of employers do not know what their responsibilities are under the law for accommodating people with disabilities. So I was thinking about the new person you're speaking of, Byron. I was thinking they might get on the stick and, you know, do some promoting of that and whatever materials we have, you know, right, that employers need to get them.
Well, and that's not unusual because we know that there are some employers that don't know all the rules and regulations around best practices in terms of their hiring practices and their retention of employees, which is one of the reasons why the videos were created. And we used to go out to these different employers to train them on some of the best practices. I don't know if we've done much of that since COVID, but Byron says, yes, we're still doing it. So because they don't always know, right? And when you look at some of these companies that have been repeated offenders of some of the stuff, it's probably around the fact because they don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
And they haven't been trained.
Yeah, yeah. But and also, you know, if employees don't know what their rights are, you know, they don't even know how to ask about it or who to ask or that they could file a complaint with us or something like that. You know, I mean, I just thought if this new person doesn't have anything to do, you know, he or she could get with it and maybe give us some help in that area.
So absolutely. Byron, your hand.
A couple thoughts on that. So one, I'm going to be updating our website training information so it'll more accurately reflect the stuff that we're doing now and have available for folks today. Melanie, if you're ever in a meeting and folks are talking about these things, you should have a current flyer of the training that's offered at the job center once a month for employment-related stuff. It's free. You could forward the flyer to them and any of their staff, their HR people, or anyone who wants to get connected to whatever those trainings are. Those trainings are specifically geared to employment-related matters of all the stuff that we do in Equal Opportunities Division. And the third option is if anybody specifically wants some specific training, we can direct them to our website and we can come and do training for any organization specifically for their own people and do a private training for them. Now, obviously the larger trainings that are 3 to 4 hours long come with the located 2 minutes typically and they're every first Friday of the month and they're all free.
Yeah, I knew there were materials and all, and I just told him I'll check into it today because, you know, people need to know their rights, and then employers need to know their obligations.
Any other comments? I'm seeing no other hands. So with that, we will move on to the next item on the agenda, which is the Truth and Reconciliation. However, I know that Brian is not on the call, and he's the one that's been dealing with that. So what I'm going to say is that if I know we've put it on our calendars because so that we can continue to keep addressing it, but I wonder if we should keep it on, given that I don't know that there's anything been happening in that space recently.
He seemed to indicate one time and this was my understanding, that the mayor's office had sort of put the kibosh on it.
Well, there wasn't any, they put the kibosh on it. I think they didn't put any funding behind it. And so I think that's what he was hoping for, is to put some, they would put some funding behind it. You know, because even if you're meeting with people, some of that requires you want to feed people. And things like that. So if they're not putting any funding behind it, I think he wanted to just kind of pause it at this time.
Well, there's not, you know, given the apparently dire circumstances the city's in,
right?
Every time you turn around, the chances of funding are probably next to zero.
So... so I think we should probably, we'll leave it until we have had a conversation with him about it, since it is his thing. But I will have a conversation with him about whether or not we should just take it off. Anything else anybody else want to say regarding that?
I don't know if we should take it off until after we talk to him. I mean, for today.
That's what I said.
Oh, okay, good. Oh, that's what you meant. Okay, cool. I didn't understand. Yep. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's, I think he would be wise to, like, how me and Linda and Sheree did, like, started like a little mini work group. And I think it's important for him to have maybe one of us from this commission, like, join him in doing a mini work group for this, if it's to go any further, because it takes a lot. That would be.
I think he had some interest from this group, but I think it was the funding issue. So with that, I'll have a conversation with him about it. So the next item is coming up with our agenda for the August 8th meeting. So far, I think we should have an update on the vacancies with the commissions. We should have some discussion, some feedback from the larger group regarding the debrief.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else anybody want on the agenda for the August 8th meeting?
Yeah, can you all see it? And I'm removing number 2.
Right.
Y'all asked me to, but this is the agenda.
We can't see it.
We can't see the new agenda, Angela.
Oh, okay. I'll stop sharing.
Stop sharing and then start.
Share it again. All right. I thought I was doing something. Okay, so share.
Angela Banks, DCR.
Do you see it now?
Yep, we can see it now.
Okay, is it too large?
Nope, it's fine for me.
Okay. Yeah, it's good.
I don't know why. It's 195%. Okay, there you are.
Byron, is your hand raised?
Yeah, so next meeting, at the beginning of the meeting, the first thing is Dr. Revel Sims will be coming to do about a 20-minute presentation on his research in our community on what he's found on housing discrimination and how it ties directly to race.
I think that'll be great. So Angela, could you add that?
Yes. Yeah.
And then Melanie?
Yeah, I was going to ask, Are we going to have a planning thing this year? Because we usually have that in July, you know, and we haven't had it. I don't, you know, I'm not saying I can't live without it, but I was just curious if we forgot to do it.
Oh, you mean our retreat?
Yeah.
Our retreat. Yeah.
I won't be able to go to August 8th, FYI, everyone. I'm going to be I'm going on vacation.
You won't be available?
I'll go be in Mexico.
Oh, okay. Well, we can go to Mexico and I'll have the meeting from Mexico.
Yeah. Let's do the retreat there. But yes, I agree. We need to do our retreat. I love how we do that every year.
So if my guess is it won't be in August because August is next week. So it'll probably be a later day and time, but I do like the idea of the retreat because that gives us a chance to plan our work plan.
And him mentioning about Revel coming made me think, because he has come about every time the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so I was just curious what happened.
So maybe is September too soon?
It's usually been in July, I think.
I know, but since we're so far already into July and August is next week.
Exactly. I would say September would be fine. September or October. I would welcome a fall one. That'd be cool.
New notification from AOL desk.
We could plan on doing it on our September meeting and do it in person. I can work with Angela in getting us a space someplace between now and then for the meeting, and then kind of figure that out.
And that'll be an extended meeting also. So Angela, right. Could you add the retreat onto the report? I mean, to the agenda also?
Yes.
And I also want to, and I don't know how to call this, but, you know, we're always talking about housing, but I do want to speak at the whole commission on this thing of the not enough housing for larger families. And I'm going to try to find the data, if I can, on how many larger, lower-income families there are, you know, because this just seems to me silly that they're not addressing it from that point of view of what the actual facts are, instead of just going around building all this housing that a lot of people can't fit into.
It's small, yeah. Even the 1 and 2 bedrooms are small.
Right. Well, anything else?
Lynette Rhodes might be the person, Melanie, to
get
some of those numbers readily for you.
Another, I wanted to just say, for space, I really enjoyed the place that we always do it at. It's handicap accessible and Zoom accessible. Parking is amazing there.
I agree.
I'm just saying if they're going to talk about it next week,
So Byron, can you guys look into it?
Yeah.
All right. Anything else? I'm not seeing any other hands, so it looks like we are at the end of our agenda. So can I have a motion to adjourn?
So move.
Anybody opposed?
They could stay if they want.
Do you have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Well, I technically don't know if I need a second if we're at the end of the agenda, but I was just taking the faster route, because if anybody was opposed to it, then I don't know. Like Melanie said, they would probably be staying by themselves. But but anyway, thank you all for your time this evening. I appreciate all of you, and I appreciate your being flexible to have this meeting today so that we can plan for our meeting next week.
Okay, thank you.
So thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Did you get all the notes you needed?
Stop the recording.